Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Many a times this complaint is heard that when we come to a khanqah or a similar environment, we feel charged, we feel motivated, and within those days we make some resolves and resolutions as well. And then as soon as we return, perhaps for a few days we are still all right, and then there's a gradual dip. We don't find ourselves at the same level that we found ourselves previously. So, what is the possible reason for all this? Obviously, when you are in an environment, then you are encouraged, you are motivated, you want to do things. When you are in the Haram Sharif, then it's a nice Islamic friendly environment, Dini friendly environment. And that Dini friendly environment encourages you. Similarly, in the month of Ramadan, this time also is a dini friendly environment. Your heart softens up, you are encouraged to do things. So for you to keep that fast is very easy. Whether it is a short roza or it's a long, lengthy roza, but to be able to manage under all circumstances becomes quite easy because of the prevalent environment. All around, everybody is doing the same thing. For you to be able to manage, then it's very easy. So the common line is that because everybody is doing the same thing around the same time, then for you to fit in becomes quite easy. So the answer you've understood already. The answer is then make that type of an environment. If you make that friendly environment, then everything becomes easy for you, everything is encouraging for you. So wherever one is living, then he endeavors to make the type of an environment. He's not relaxed, he's not at ease until he finds the type of environment. Everybody is performing namaz, everybody is adhering to the sunnah, everybody is engaging in Quran Sharif recitation, etc. So all these things are happening. Until you haven't brought your environment to that level, then you don't find yourself relaxed. One person is out, then very politely, kindly, sweetly, lovingly, then you encourage him, bring him back on. You'll find someone coming out. So then you motivate him, you bring him back on, online. This will take some time. It will not happen overnight, obviously. Like ourselves as well, many things we knew we should be doing, and many things there were that we knew must leave out. But then the nafs had the better of us, and we weren't doing it immediately. With time, certain things settled within us, gradually they established, they rooted within us. As they rooted, then they became our status quo, then we began to move accordingly. So just as we required some time and space for the transition and the change, then others also require the same. They also require some time and space for the transition. But the important thing is that then do we work in the direction? Do we encourage people in the direction or not? So there'll be two classes of people. One is that class of people that you have no influence over. And the other class you have influence over. It's your wife, it is your children, it is your subordinates, and you have all the influence over. So with respect to those people that you have influence over, then you be a little bit firm. It's your children, your wife, politely but firm. Not in a way that they will break up and they will run away from you, but lovingly, gradually you come up, you bring them into that same type of ethos. That is, those people that you have some type of influence over. And those that you not have an influence over, then you can't be firm, you can't be aggressive, you can't be too rigid against them. The reason is obvious. Khana e digar shahi makun. It's not your own territory, then you can't influence. Like we're living in this country, right? There may be a lot of things that we don't agree with, right? We're not happy with. But can we influence the decisions? We can't influence the decision of the country. Right? Can we? Can't influence it. They'll talk of gay rights, so we will not agree. They will also recognize zina rights. Zina rights, they will recognize it. But is it acceptable to us? Not acceptable to us. They will talk about alcohol rights. So all these things are not acceptable to us. But can we influence them? We can't influence them. But within our circle, we'll be firm. In the outer circle, we'll see how we can work with. Gradually. They will work very gradually. But in the immediate circle, there we will be firm. So one is the immediate circle. And in the immediate circle, first comes yourself. You have all the control. You have all the command over yourself. Nobody can stop you from doing what you need to do. You need to close your eyes, shut your eyes, you shut your eyes straight away. Nobody can influence you in that respect. You need to perform your namaz on time. Nobody can stop you from doing that. So in that smaller circle, you come first. And when you come first, then you need to be the strongest over yourself. You need to be the most hard over yourself. Right? Then those that are under you, first upon yourself, then those that are under you. So the same mahol, environment, then is transported to wherever you are living. Be it a madrasa, be it in a business, be it at a home, be it amongst friends, wherever we are, but we're carrying that same ethos, that same system. Wherever we are, that same system we're allowing to carry on. After all, we do allow our friends to also influence us. Don't we do that? They are doing something and they call us, then don't we allow ourselves to be victims of their circumstance? We allow ourselves. So like we allow ourselves to become victims, can't we also influence them? If we allow ourselves, then can't we influence them as well? Some of the more important things to get this in order and get this in place, we're speaking about having a control, having some type of command over the heart and the tongue. These are the two most important things. The heart, tongue, and the eyes. Most important things, these are the three things. People generally don't consider the wrong of the heart to be a wrong in the first place. If we are jealous over somebody or some person, then we don't consider this jealousy as a sin, as a crime. If we are showing off and boastful towards someone, then we don't even consider this wrong to be a wrong in the first place. We feel, well, that's part of our culture. We have to be boastful, we have to be proud, we have to be jealous, we have to be malicious. So all what's within us, we don't consider it as a crime, because the people around us don't consider that as a crime. They'll talk about it and they don't consider it as a crime. So because they talk about it and their influences are so great, so it brings us to a point that we don't even consider the wrong to be a wrong, the evil to be an evil. We don't even consider it. So the first point is to get the heart right, right? And when that heart goes off, then everything is lost in the body. The whole thing, everything goes wrong. In the words of Hazrat Tanwi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, one of the easier ways to bring about some reformation and correction easier ways. He says two words. One is ta'ammul and the other is tahammul. One is ta'ammul and the other is tahammul. That before you embarking on anything, whether any word or any deed, any word or any work, before you can embark on, then the first step is ta'ammul. And ponder. Do I need to do it or do I not need to do it? Am I doing the right thing or not? Should I do this or shouldn't I do it? Is the approach in this right or not right? Think about it carefully. 9 out of 10 times if you think, then you won't go wrong. The wrong is because you don't think, you just embark on something. And then you begin to think, oh, did I do the right thing? Before speaking, I need to ask myself, is this the right thing or not right thing? I'm not clear about it, then I don't speak about it. I'm clear about it and I know it's supposed to be said at this time. I'm quite sure that it must be said at this time, then I say it. If I'm not sure about it, then I'm silent at that time. So if a person can then discipline himself, see, he can discipline himself in that respect, ta'ammul, then 9 out of 10 of his problems all are sorted out. Everything is sorted out. So one is that ta'ammul, thinking, reflecting, trying to understand, putting things in perspective. Right? You understand and you work gracefully. You're not instinctive, right? And spontaneous. You're not spontaneous. Just the thought just came and just do it. No. Just do it really is not an Islamic culture. Just do it. This is a shaitanic culture. And is when you talk of a Nike brand, you know, the Nike brand, to me, it seems like a shaitanic cult. You know? It is a shaitanic cult because they also say the same thing, just do it. So the hadith says it, al-ujlatu min ash-shaytan. Just do it is from shaitan. That's why I say that this is a shaitanic culture. Even we were talking about this K-way, you know, some nights ago we were talking about it. Or there are some interpretations about the thing, what it is and what it stands for. But the point that we need to ask, we need to understand is, see, some of the styles that were adopted by the Jews in the past. مِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِيمَ عَمْ مَوَاضِعِ. Right? What was their approach? One was they used to distort things. They used to distort the meaning, right. Sometimes they'll even distort the word, change the entire word. And sometimes they will change the meaning. They will say, no, this is what is meant by this. Like I had said, they will misinterpret, give a wrong explanation, and legalize something that was haram. Like was done by the Christians. They said, no, swine is permissible, because it's brought up and reared in very pure hygienic conditions. So it's no more forbidden. Why? Before, it used to be reared up in very unhygienic conditions, eating filth and unhygienic conditions. Therefore, it was impermissible. Now, because of the hygienic conditions that it is brought up in, therefore, it is now kosher and permissible. So this was a clear distortion of the scripts, of the heavenly scripts. But how they distorted it? Through misinterpretation. They will misinterpret the same thing and they will legalize the thing that was illegal. Right? That was one way. مِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِيمَ عَمْ مَوَاضِعِ وَيَقُولُونَ سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا. And they will use ambiguous words. Right? They will use ambiguous words like they'll say سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا. Now, سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا can have a dual meaning. You can say, you know, we hear and we disobey. So the good meaning can be, we listen to you and we disobey everybody else. We listen to you, but we are disobedient to everybody else. Any system that is alien to your system, we disobey. That's the good meaning. But the meaning that they would take within themselves is, in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they'll say, we hear and we disobey you. So it was like a ridicule, you understand? Outwardly, they cannot be caught out. Because if they are Christian, what are you saying? Then they can give a good explanation to it. سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا. See. outwardly they cannot get caught out because this is the explanation they can give. So they're giving words of ambiguous import. It's not a straight and a clear word, ambiguity. Their cunning, their conniving led them to this point. حَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ أَمْ مَوَاضِعِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ سَمِعْنَا وَعَصِيْنَا وَاسْمَعْ غَيْرَ مُسْمَعِينَ. Again, another word, wasma غَيْرَ مُسْمَعِينَ. This also can have a good meaning and can have a terrible meaning. It can have. The good meaning can be, and our Nabi Sallam listened to us, and may you not hear anything that is hurtful to you. May anything that is hurtful to you not be heard by you. Wasma غَيْرَ مُسْمَعِينَ. So that's the good meaning. But the evil meaning that these people would conceal within their minds and hear, but may your words not be ever heard by anybody. May your words not reach anybody that they don't hear your words. See. So now, by the same token, if you look at this kiwi, right, I'm just showing you the style of the Jews, what they used to do. And this same style, again, was adopted by the Shias. Like the Jews adopted this type of conniving. They also used taqiyah, right? The holy hypocrisy. They will say something, they will mean something else. Sometimes they will distort all that. This conniving, you see. And the Quran is saying, don't use this type of ambiguous approaches. So now, this kiwi thing, right? Well, one is now, you say, no, it's the owner's name, right? And then, there's another dimension to this. It can also relate, it can also refer to gaze. In the old English, it can also refer to, you just take the dot off from in between, then it can refer to gaze, right? So now, that person who wants to promote this gayism, whatever, how happy he must be, you know. Okay, before, only I was talking about gay rights, you know. Now the whole world is talking of gay rights. This was the Jews, exactly the plot of the Jews, when they used these words like, سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا and وَاسْمَعْ غَيْرَ مُسْمَعْ وَرَاعِنَا, and the third ambiguous word, رَاعِنَا. The Ra'ina also has one dimension, it's a beautiful meaning. What is the beautiful meaning? Be considerate towards us. Right? Be considerate towards us. That was the one meaning. And the other meaning was that the word Ra'ina is a derogatory word in the Jewish language. It's a swear word, it's an insult. So they will take that insult into meaning, into their minds. But outwardly, this is how they will come out. This is how they will surface, right? And when the Muslims, the unwary Muslims, when they heard this, they said, hey, it's a nice way to address Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can't we also say Ra'ina, right? So they also felt like that. So the Quran Sharif came and said, no, La taqulu Ra'ina, don't say this word. Because this is what is happening. That you are using this word and you have a good intention. But these people have an evil intention, and when you are using this word, then they are celebrating. How they're celebrating? They're celebrating in this way. Okay, before it was only Jews that were using these words and being derogatory. Now, your own people are being derogatory towards you. You see this? Before it was only we that were being derogatory. Now your own people are being derogatory. They don't even realize that they're being derogatory towards you. They don't realize that they are insulting you. See? So the Quran Sharif close this chapter. As I explained, لَمْ يَخِرُّ عَلَيْهَا سُمَّ وَعُمْيَانَ. That Muslim and Islam, what it requires of you, that you're doing anything, you're following anything, then with understanding. Don't just do it. Just do it. Not that culture. Just do it. But you're doing something, and do it with understanding. Do it with reasoning. Is this the right thing? Must I do it? Am I just doing it because the whole crowd is doing it? Am I just saying it just to, like how it is common with some people, just to entertain a crowd, just to make them laugh now, just to keep them up? I'm saying some things. So don't just say because you have to say it, just to keep the people going, or just to excite someone. Sometimes in the process, you don't realize the consequence of what you are doing. You know, they say that a man maintains his nobility and respect until he doesn't speak. But when he speaks, then he loses himself. Many a times he loses himself. People realize now, okay, in what waters he is. But he kept quiet, he maintained his respect. He kept quiet, he was silent, he maintained his izzat, his nobility. But the moment you go and speak, sometimes your respect is gone, sometimes your stupidity is discovered as well. There was a new girl that was married and came into the house, see. So the other daughter-in-laws, they would all speak around the mother-in-law, they would speak friendly and they would be quite relaxed and comfortable. But this new one wasn't speaking. Now 1 year passed, so this mother-in-law is saying, "Why, you must speak also. Others are speaking, why don't you speak? Why are you being totally silent?" So this one says, "You know what, my mother's told me I must keep quiet, I mustn't talk. So my mother's advice now, then how can I go against my advice, against the advice of my mother? You must keep quiet, mustn't talk." So the mother-in-law said, "No, your mother is a stupid man. You must just talk." So now after some thinking now, she said, "No, my mother-in-law is saying the right thing. I must also talk. Like other girls are talking around, all the sister-in-laws are talking, so I must say something as well." So she was well off keeping quiet, but then the mother-in-law is prompting her, and she got caught for that. She bought that off, see. When she bought that, now she started talking. So among the first words she says, "You know, Ma," now the mother-in-law also, they call Ma, right? "Ma, you know, if your son dies, will you arrange for my marriage again?" So the mother-in-law said, "No, I think what your mother said was right. It's better for you just to keep quiet." See? So many times you try to incite a crowd, entertain a crowd, it's going to say something. But you don't realize whether that your stupidity is becoming apparent. When you're quiet, it was easy. Sometimes your stupidity comes out, and sometimes you are regretful, remorseful for why I said this type of words. But now you're in that habit now. If someone says something, and I must say something. The wife says something, and I must say something. I must have the last word. So when you have that type of a mindset that I must have the last word, then you cause problem for yourself. When you want to have the last word, Bhai Padia Rahmatullah used to say, you rather win the person and lose the argument. Say, for example, the wife said something, you kept quiet, there's no remorse over it. Right? There's no remorse, there's no regrets, you don't have to take back your word. But she said something and you said something, she said and you said, now it's tit for tat. Then in that, you became a little bit aggressive. So she's not talking, you're not talking. She's faced the other side and you face the other way. Right? Total, like strangers you are. Now don't you feel remorseful for that moment? Hey, but why she had to say this? And why did I have to say this? But for that moment, if you just kept quiet and you let things pass, then that person that is being aggressive, they will become remorseful. You know, why did I have to say this? Why should you be the person that's covered in remorse? Let the next person be in remorse. Why should you take that part? Keep quiet. What does it cost you? You still have a chance to think about it. All right, what must I say? How must I plan it? Should I say it? Shouldn't I say it? So, the first thing that brings about your loss is your tongue. You know, it's like you're filling up, right? You're filling up goodness. And then there are certain areas that will leak out the good. You know, you're filling in gold, rubies, etc., right? Quran, hadith, etc., you're putting in. But then your pockets are all torn. So what you're filling in, everything is getting out. So the same you are getting in, there's a lot of things that you're getting in. But the tear that will get you out is your mouth. One tear that gets you out, gets all the goods that's within you. You know, you throw up. You throw up all the good. And how you throw up your good? You throw up the good through your tongue. So how much you have acquired, so much you have acquired, and you don't know one sentence and everything is wiped out, everything deleted. Just come and see, deleted. So you acquired so much and so much and so much, and then misuse of the tongue as though you threw up all the good that was within, And when you threw up everything that was wooden, everything was deleted. Now you're thinking within yourself, now why is there a sudden darkness over my heart? But now you don't realize it's the slip of the tongue. And again, the naivety will be, you'll try to justify. No, I think I said the right thing. I have to say something. So what's wrong if I said it? See? So you'll try and appease yourself. You appease your own conscience. So when you try to appease your conscience, there's no way for your being guided. You can't get you to be on the right. Because everything that he said, you got an answer for it. When you got an answer for everything, how to get you right? I say you something and you counter, and I tell you again and you counter answer me. So how to get the person right? Counter answering is not a sign of intelligence. If it was a sign of intelligence, then Allah Ta'ala reprimanded Shaitan. Right? مَا لَكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Why? What stops you from being like the rest? See, the rest of the crowd, they all make sajda, but what stops you? See, now this is the shaitanic mentality. You want to be different from the crowd. All the malaika, they did, and they complied, they conformed. So one person, one wisecrack has to be against the flow. Now you see, everybody is doing the right thing. They're moving in a direction, they're doing the right thing. Then why do you want to be the odd one out? So that's what Shaitan wanted. He wanted to be the odd one out. He wanted to be conspicuous. He wanted to be outstanding. So I mustn't be like the rest of the crowd. Yeah, a little bit backwards. So his answer is now, his counter-answering. Allah Pak's instruction and his countering. See, if someone is lower than you, then you can counter him. It's all right, right? But someone that is your superior in every respect, can you counter him? In every regard, he's superior. Intelligence, understanding, in his favors, in everything, he's superior. There isn't a thing that he is not superior. So, you can't counter him. It's not right. So, Shaitan had countered-answered. And when he countered-answered, and there, that brought his entire collapse. Everything in him, all the hell in him, literally broke loose. Everything. And he became a person of the hell. The hell broke loose in him, and he became Ahlul Nar as well, Jahannam. Just the counter answering. See? So, this counter answering and showing your smartness and intelligence is not something that you can be boastful about. It's not something that you can be proud about. No, I can counter answer it, and I can do this, I can do this. The excellence in man is not in being able to counter answer, right? It's in him showing submission, you know, at a crucial point, at the crunch. But at the crunch also, you can just submit yourself. You overcome with anger, with emotions, right? You overcome with emotions and anger. But it is the command of Allah Ta'ala that you suppress your anger. Now that is the goodness of man that is coming up. That way he can submit himself at the most crucial point, right at the crunch, but he can hold himself. His nafs and his temptations got the better over him. Just look at it, you know. Just look at it. Right. But at that point also he's resisting, he's holding himself. His nafs is saying, no, just look at it. Just look at it, you won't lose anything. It's not a serious thing. It's not a train smash, just look at it. But he can submit himself now, but Allah Pak says, I mustn't look at it. So right at the crunch where there is a very, very great urge to do it. Things urging you, is pushing you, everything is happening. But then Allah Pak is on the one end, Allah Pak is saying submit. And you just submit. Now that is the beauty of man coming up. Your beauty comes up at that point where you can submit at the most crucial point. Normal circumstances, when you are submitting, it's easy. Ramadan time now, it's easy. Everybody is doing it. But when you are the one odd one out, right, and it's told to you, just keep quiet. You just close your eyes, don't see this. Don't press this button here. Right. When it's most attracting, when it's most easy, there's nobody there to see you. You are all alone. It's just you. Nobody alone. Nobody there. Nobody can see what you've been doing or what you are doing now. Nobody can see. But at that moment, you say, no, Allah Pak is watching, and I need to submit myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the submission, really, this is the beauty of mankind. Someone swore you, or he used some type of a vulgar language, right? And your mind is telling you, I must give him a piece of my mind. I must tell him, also, like he's telling me something, then I must also say something. Otherwise, what they'll think, that I can't speak. I can't defend myself. They'll think I'm a coward. So I must say something as well. So at that time, you say, no, I must submit myself. So this is called ta'ammul. You're thinking, you're employing your reasoning. And Allah Pak has blessed you with this reasoning that you use it. Not that you preserve it one side, leave it one side in storage. He's given it to you that you use the thing. فَلَا تَعْقِلٌ. Why don't you understand? Why don't you reason? Why don't you use your common sense? When I say common sense, Allah Pak has given common sense, you must use that common sense. It is not meant to be taken and left in storage. It's meant to be applied. And the more you will apply it, you will find the more goodness will come out. And all you have to think about, is this in conformity with his submission? Will he be happy? See, the system of Allah, how beautiful it works. Right? In this world, Allah wants you to submit to your temptation. The heart is saying, look at this. Right? Or the eyes are saying, look at this. But the heart is forcing the eye into submission. Right? So though there is an urge, though there is an appeal, but the heart is forcing the eye, don't look. The ear wants to say, let's listen to this. But the heart is forcing you into submission. No, don't you ever listen to this. The tongue is saying, let's talk about this. But the heart is saying, it's forcing you into submission. I must just not speak about this. So there is a link. There is a connection between the heart and the eye. There is a connection between the heart and the ear. There is a connection between the heart and the tongue. Though you cannot see it, but can you deny that there is no connection? Can you deny that? You have to accept at some point that there is a connection between the both. So now look at the beautiful plan of Allah Ta'ala. In this world, the connection is between the heart and the tongue, the heart and the ear, the heart and the eye, the heart and the entire limb. Isn't it? In every limb, the heart is connected. The heart has to give the instruction, say the heart, call it the heart, call it the mind, whatever it is, right? I don't want to go into the discussion. The mind is saying, do it. No, give him a punch. Mind is saying, don't do it. So there's a connection between the mind and your limbs. Be it the eye, be it the tongue, be it the ear. There's a connection. The one that is giving instruction is the mind. Mind has to give the instruction and the limbs are carrying it out. But can you deny the existence of a connection? And the carrying of the message is so swift, I think within a split second it's there. See, the mind is giving instruction to the hand, right? This person is going to throw a punch. Before you can throw a punch, you punch him on his face. Right? So in a split second, he's giving you the instruction and you threw a punch at him. Right? So can you see the level of the speed, how speed is moving? You just think about it, you just thought about it, there, it's there. Can you see? Can you see the connection? You can't see the connection. But can you deny a connection? You can't deny the connection. How it's working, miraculously, right? You have to believe that there is a connection between the both. Can you deny it? Ask anybody. But can anybody explain how the thing works? Anybody in this world, can they explain how it works? They have to accept that there is a connection, but they cannot see it, and they cannot deny it. So exactly the same, Allah Ta'ala will create a connection between your heart and the comforts of Jannat. Here you resisted and you submitted, Allah Pak will say, you resisted and you submitted. Now, in Jannat you just have to wish for it and everything is linked to your heart. Every single comfort that you are thinking of and desirous of is linked to your heart. So your heart just have to think about it and they'll go in submission. Here your limbs had gone into submission. Here every comfort of Jannat will go into submission straight. Like you couldn't see the connection, you won't see the connection. But it's a fact. Here your limbs went into submission, the every comfort of Jannat will go into submission. You thought about it and it's there. You thought about it and it's there. Yeah. Allah doesn't want you to undergo that little bit of difficulty, you know. You know, like if you want tea now, you have to go take a walk from here, go into the kitchen, get the kettle hot, pour the water, then the milk, then add the tea, all that taklif. It's a delay before you get it, right? You don't get it straight. If you get it straight, you don't get it straight, right? There's a little bit of taklif that you will have to undergo in order to get that comfort. But the Allah doesn't want you to undergo that difficulty. You want it, this is the straight. Because kulu washrabu hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliya. Eat, drink, and enjoy. Not only eat and drink, but enjoy. Hani'an, enjoy. Enjoy. Congratulations, enjoy. Because of what you had sent in the past days, you know, in the past, what you used to do, because of all that, eat and drink and enjoy. So he doesn't want you to go through that difficulty for the least moment. Oh, my banda, no difficulty. This world, the nizam of this world, the administration of this world is different. It's with difficulty. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. This whole operation, this intizam, this worldly operation goes with difficulty. Allah Pak says it. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Created man in difficulty. Difficulty upon difficulty. From the time of birth right till the end. Can you show me any period of life where there is no difficulty? Can you show me? From the king to the pauper, from the queen to the poorest of persons. But can you show me a period in life where there is absolutely no difficulty? You know, with the conception, right, with the conceiving of a woman, from there the difficulty starts off. Right? The woman conceives and there's difficulty already started off. She's throwing up and she's feeling nauseous. All that, doesn't it happen? She just conceived and straight away the taklif started. And every month now, she needs to go and see a gynae, and she needs to change medication, this tablets, the supplements, they'll have to take all that, whatever. And the second month, becoming a little bit weighty now, to move around this child here, and this is the weight that's coming on to me. فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ دَعَوَ اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَ. Now it's becoming weightier and weightier. So she's taking all the difficulty. So from the very, very conception, conceiving of the woman, from that moment onwards, it's going to be difficulty. And she's coming to the end, and the difficulty is mounting again. Can you show me difficulty? No, in any period of life, there's no difficulty. So this is the administration of this world. There must be difficulty. Then a childbirth, then so much more difficulty. So much more difficulty. You know, sometimes some of the gynaecs, they come and tell you some of the stories, you know. The normal non-Muslim will tell you, hey, the woman is shouting at that time, never again, never again, never again. And just in 2 years again, she's back. At that time, she's saying, never again, never do this again. And 2 years time, she's back again. So the enjoyment in this world is covered with difficulty. Really is with difficulty. Enjoyment is really covered with difficulty. You cannot rule it off. Now the child is born. He is motionless, he can't move right, he can't move left, he can't sit up, he can't talk for himself, nothing. The only sabak he knows is two, he got two sabaks he knows. Allah Pak sent him in this world with only two sabaks. One is to cry, right? And one is how to squeeze the milk out. That's the only two sabaks. Any other, tell me he knows a third sabak. Only two sabaks Allah Ta'ala sent him with. From there you must develop, you must go on now. I give you the start now. Allah Pak same. I give you the password. But the password now, you must move on yourself. I give you the software I gave you. Now on the software, you have to work it. You have to make it work. So Allah gave you that software. Now to start it off, He gave you the software. He gave you the start. What is the two sabak? Cry. Anything and cry. Night, day, morning. That's the only sabak he knows. And how to squeeze the milk out. Anything else? Nothing else. So this difficulty of his is from the beginning right to the end. Right? He's got no wealth, then he's in a problem, constraints, difficulty. Taklif, now what does he do? This figure here, that figure, this concern. You know, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there? I'm going to sort this thing out, I'm going to sort that out, right? And he's got wealth, again difficulty. Okay, you know, I got the wealth now, and I got 2-3 children now, I need to sort them out. How must I work it out, the inheritance and all the estate, what must I do there? And is it quite secure? The tenant, is it an anchor tenant? If he lets me down, then what's going to happen? Okay. And that one tenant is complaining, you know, I'm taking the money from him, but I'm not seeing to the premises. All that figure is in your mind. So is there any moment that you can say that I'm figureless? No figureless. You have to. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. You see, Allah has created you in difficulty. So accept it for that moment that you are in difficulty here. And when he says that you are going to be in difficulty in this world, then it will be a fool, you will be a fool to make this a paradise. Just listen to the words, by the grace of Allah, that you will be a fool to make this a paradise. Then don't think of making it a paradise. Don't make it a pleasure resort. It's difficulty, so just go with the motions. Don't try to make it a pleasure resort. Because the more you will attempt to make it a pleasure resort, the more difficult it will become for you. Because you made it a pleasure resort, now you have to maintain that thing. You have to sustain that thing. You have to see that you're moving with the Joneses all the time. There's a slight dip now, again, it's a worry, you know, everything was working out. I was getting so much, 10,000 I was getting, and other things taking a dip now. What must I do? Now it's an additional figure, concern. Why? Because you thought that this was a pleasure resort. But you thought to yourself, you know, this is difficulty. Allah Bak said this is going to be difficulty. So you went gracefully, calmly. The difficulty came, you took it in stride, you went with the flow. So for you to take it on is not a difficult thing. Because you understood, you accepted that this is going to be difficulty here. Right. You take a morsel of food, you're not at ease until it's thought out. And when you're taking it out again, there's a little bit of difficulty. Isn't there some difficulty? It's difficulty. Even that morsel of food, there was enjoyment to be, just enjoyment, pure enjoyment. For pure enjoyment also, you have to pay for it. As though it's telling you, your mouth is telling you, remember whatever you eat, you'll have to pay for it downstairs. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. You're going to pay for it. In this world, that's the whole system. So it's not a problemless life. The moment you're going to say it's a problemless life, you're going to bring problems to yourself. So Mawlana says that the first thing that you need to do when you're getting on to anything, then ta'ammul, think, ponder, understand. Lots of the problems will be just wiped out, will be just deleted by your thinking. You know, if you're spontaneous, you're erratic, spontaneous, instinctive, you know, you told him something and you severed the relationship. Now you don't know how to mend the relationship. You're waiting for ease day to come to again join up the relationship. But I ask you, even if you joined up the relationship on ease day, is it like before? Is it going to be like before? You say, no, it's forgiven but not forgotten. That's what he'll say, isn't it? It may be forgiven but not forgotten. So you can't forget it, you can't delete it, you can't rub it out completely off the memory. But such a beautiful thing, such a beautiful advice Mawlana is giving ta'ammul, think. Understand short term, long term, understand all these things here before you embark on anything, on a word or on a work. Just think about it. See, this Buzuganadin, what they say, I feel it's all from Allah Ta'ala. It's ilham, Allah Pak inspired the hearts. Because of the righteousness in them. Because you look at who in their kalam, you know, it's thought of a man to say something like this. How beautiful he's thought about the entire life, the whole system, and he's presented it before us. So the first thing is ta'ammul. And the second thing he says, tahammul. And then a little bit of endurance. Because in that exercise, there's going to be a little bit of difficulty. See, there's a beautiful girl that came in, right? Beautiful. One of its kind. You ever see something like that, right? Right. So the heart, the mind, everybody's saying, you won't get a chance again. It's like Joylani. Joylani? Who take you? The heart will say that, right? Yeah, just see a little bit, man. A little bit. Then you can just sort it out, make istighfar, 27 nights coming in, sort it out, you know. That's your mind giving you some sabaks, you see. Right. and give us sabak. Since when you became a farishta now, you know? You are one of those things now, you are one of those delinquents. Allah will forgive hundreds of people, he'll forgive you also. So your mind will give you some sabak. So at that time, tahammul. Then just endure, hold on. Don't just give in. Hold on. You'll have to hold on. You'll have to endure. Endurance means what? You have to go through some level of difficulty. Allah is saying you that I know it's difficult. I know that it's difficult to endure when that it's so lucrative, you know, it's so attractive, it's so lucrative, it's so appealing. And for you to put on the brakes at that time, I know I created you, I made you. So I know it's difficult. I don't say it's easy. But for that, what is the solution? Is precisely at that moment, just you endure. Endure. You go through that difficulty and you endure. One is now, look at a person, he gave in to his nafs and he looked at that girl. Right? For that moment, he feels quite comfortable, quite relaxed. Right? After an hour, how does it feel? I missed the thing, man. Can't do anything about it now. What a loss. Right? And the other person, what he did, he said, no, I submit. I submit, I give in completely. So I won't look at all. For that moment, he goes through some difficulty. For that moment, momentum, momental. For that moment, you go through some difficulty. But after that moment has passed, do you feel any type of pain, remorse, and any type of agony within your mind and heart? Nothing. Because you didn't see it, you didn't lose anything. Nothing to lose. You saw it and then it went away. It's a thing to lose. It's a thing to cry about. It's a thing of agony. I'll just tell you one story. Cut it short now because my time is up now. It was some mujahideen that were guarding one fort, you know. It's a lengthy story, but just cut it very short. They were guarding one fortress. So one of those mujahideen were laid siege. They laid siege to a fortress. So one of the mujahideen was struck with a stray arrow. So he fell unconscious, and then he came up, he gave a big laugh, and then he cried forever. Cried and he cried and he cried. It's a lengthy story, but I just want to cut it very, very short. So they asked him, "Bhai, what was all this business now? You cried, you laughed, and then you cried. You first laughed, you gave a big laugh, then you started crying." So he says, "You know what? What happened was, when I was shot, right, my hoor in Jannat had been at the scene. At the scene, and I never see something like this, man. This, I never seen something like this. Beyond. It's beyond. Really beyond. And I saw that. And I just, you know, natural impulse was to stretch my hand. So she says to me that I love you more than you love me. But you know, our nikah certificate will only come Zuhr time. I'm giving my own words. The nikah certificate will only come at Zuhr time. So then I cried. I couldn't hold myself. Hey, I need to get there. You see that urge was in him now. I need to get there now. And this thing is saying, you know, the nikah certificate is only coming Zuhr time. How can I wait? This is happening at around 10 o'clock. And Zuhr is only going to be at 12:30, right? So that 2.5 hours also is too much a struggle. You know, the temptation in that hoor was so much that he cried and he cried. Right? You see that what I'm showing you? That temptation is so great. And precisely at Zuhr time, another arrow came, shot him, and was gone. So there is a time for your temptation, but don't ever think that this is the place of your temptation. This is just for you to carry some fuel and move across. A little bit of fuel you need, you know, a little bit of enjoyment, a little bit of food, etc. You need just to carry you across. This is what you require. But the moment you felt that this is a place for your temptation, you're off, you're gone. It's going to create grief for you, agony and pain. But if you read this entire life that it is for pain, it is for difficulty, then you will take it in the stride. But the moment you felt that this is a place of temptation, then you've gone off. There is a place for temptation. Allah says, I made you. I created the temptation. So I created a place for the fulfillment of your temptation as well. If I created you, I'm showing you that there's going to be a place. And the temptation to the limit, you know, ultimate, that there's no delay in the fulfillment. You're tempted and there's no delay. You have this mujahid, poor chap, you still have to wait for 2.5 hours. Right? And you couldn't resist, right? You couldn't resist. But there, once you're on that line, once you're on that side, there's no delay. There you desire and it's there. You desire and it's there. So there is no delay in the fulfillment, no delay in the accomplishment. So just try and understand this. Ta'ammul and tahammul. One is reflect, ponder, understand. Another one, you'll have to go through some difficulty in this life. Somewhere down the line, some type of difficulty or the other. Nobody can say, I'm totally problem free. You'll have some problem or the other. Sometimes agony, sometimes grief, sometimes it's your child, sometimes it's your daughter-in-law, sometimes it's your son-in-law, sometimes it's your grandson, your granddaughter-in-law, someone. But somewhere down the line, you're going to have some type of difficulty. So mentally prepare yourself that you'll have to go through this little bit of endurance. And the place, the real place for the fulfillment of your temptation is coming. When he's created temptation, then he's created fulfillment as well. Whatever he's created a solution for it also. I've created temptation, but I've created a place for it as well. Another coffee.